proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your hosts, Ramon and Nena Arias. They have proclaimed truth for over 30 years in many nations of the world and now endeavor to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They are passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now your hosts, Ramon and Nena Arias.
We don't like to think that we make gods out of people. But guess what? If we are not careful, we do. That is, if we have the right understanding, how we look up to people. Whether people understand it or not, they make gods of other people, and they pay dearly to keep them in a position of power. This could be in the world of entertainment, the world of science, the world of academics, you name it. People have a tendency to make gods out of these individuals, whether they are giving you the right perspective of life or not. It's just the fact that they are outstanding in what they do. And people just begin to pour out their support to them without really thinking of the outcome of this individual's ideas. This is the way it's been for thousands of years. And yes, we all participate if we don't have a clearer understanding of who is the true God in all this. Let us look briefly and just for the sake of just having some reflection into this subject that we're going to deal with this time. People make gods of their rulers. I'm Ramon Arias.
And I'm Nena Arias, and it's wonderful to welcome you once again to this topic that, without a doubt, is going to touch us on a very personal level.
I don't think, honestly, and I'm saying this out of experience, what I've seen and what I've read throughout history, I don't think there is one position that a person may hold in society as that of a politician. And here's the reason why. They make decisions that affect the population. And people have a tendency to look up to them because they have this power that they can decide one way or another. They sway a lot of persuasion on what they do, and the outcome can be good or can be bad. But the point that we want to make is when people make gods out of their rulers, that's a big problem. And it is obvious that the greater the position of the politician, the more influence they have in government. And we have an incident that was recorded by Dr. Luke in the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse 20 through 24. It says, "Now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord, and having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace because their country depended on the king's country for food. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, 'The voice of God and not of man.' Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory. And he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. But the word of God increased and multiplied." If we are not knowledgeable of who the Herod dynasty was, we would think that God was very unfair to this Herod. And yet, we will learn what happened to this man, and why was God really against him in many more than one way? like I mentioned, he was not the first Herod. We read about other Herods. For instance, you have Herod the Great, who is the one that witnessed by hearing that the Messiah had been born. And he is the one that sent his soldiers to kill children in the area of Bethlehem 2 years and under, just to get rid of Jesus. And then there was another Herod that ruled after Herod the Great. And that's why Joseph, when they left Egypt, they went to Nazareth instead of Bethlehem. And after that, there was another Herod, Antipas. This is the one who killed John the Baptist. And you're familiar with that story. And then you have another Herod, Herod Philip. He was a ruler in the northern part, in the northern and eastern part of Galilee. And then we come to this Herod Agrippa the First, the one we just read the story. He was the grandson of Herod the Great and nephew of Herod Antipas. That's the lineage that this new Herod that we are making reference to from the book of Luke, the dynasty behind him. There is something about dynasties in politics. They think that they are the owners of people. They think that they are the infallible rulers of society. And I know that's the way it was throughout thousands of years. A king was put in place, then his son or his daughter will rule, or somebody else, unless he was killed or she was killed, then somebody will come and rule. That's the way it was for thousands of years. So there's nothing unusual about this. What it is unusual is when they really believe that they own the region, even though in the case of all the Herods, they were under the Roman dominance. So they were appointed by Rome to be the kings and the regions assigned to them. So this Herod that we are talking about, the one that Luke is mentioning in this portion of the passage that we just read, we see that he committed himself to persecute the Christians. He is the one that killed James, the brother of John, and he saw that the Jewish leadership was very pleased that he was persecuting the Christians. And he's the one that had Peter arrested. And you can begin to see how he was really enjoying his position of power and persecuting the Christians, the early Christians. The interesting thing about this relationship between Herod Agrippa with the Jewish leadership is that they did not care or attack him, that he brought into the Jewish culture more pagan activities than anything else. But they enjoy Herod's position of killing Christians, persecuting Christians. Go figure. The Jewish leadership is supposed to be guardians of God's word and to eradicate from their culture everything that was pagan. But not so at this time in the history of the Jewish nation. They'd done the same perversion before Herod and all the Herods, and centuries before that, from the very beginning, they wanted to embrace the pagan cultures, and they didn't care to observe God's moral absolutes. So we have this Herod Agrippa that he introduced the pagan type of games, musical festivals, and all these gladiator fights. But, you know, they say, well, he is with us because he wants to preserve the Jewish nation as a pure religious nation. So when we look at this persecution that Herod Agrippa was doing against God's people, Christ's people in this case, well, he was very arrogant. And too often, We see how public servants behave as immortals. They enjoy and thrive on flattery and adulation from every direction. Now, the people that came to talk to him about making peace with him, they were not Jewish people. They were people from Tyre and Sidon. And they wanted to have this alliance with him. And that's why when they approached him, it was with the idea that he will not stop feeding them, selling them, because commerce is very powerful. And we've seen how the money behind commerce, when it is used unethically, they make the worst alliances, regardless what happens to a lot of people, because commerce produces capital to people. And to those who control the most, they want to have the greatest insight input into power. Such was the case of these people who came to talk to him. And we see that in our time. And this is one of the problems that America has been facing since she became the new experiment of government that never existed before upon the face of the earth. You get together those religious leaders that corrupt the word of God. You get the people who have the power to control money. And then you have those in power who allow those forces to be part of the government. You have a formula that is going to destroy, devastate societies. Now, when we read in verse 22 that when he was talking to them, they begin to shout to him, the voice of a God and not of men. Oh, there is so much that we can glean through all this. You know why? This is what I've seen personally and by reading events throughout history, those in power. This is what I've seen. You have power in politics. You will be catered to by people who will take advantage of your position. If you are useful to them, they will sustain you. But once you have faded from that position, people will ignore you. And Nina, you will remember when we walk into this restaurant and the person who had just been president of that country, we had a meal there, and I pointed out to you, and I said, look, this is the man that was the president of this country. Look at all by himself, everybody ignoring him. And I'm just pointing out one person, and I'm going to hold his name for respect of that person and that nation. You recall that moment. I'm sure you do.
Yes.
And, you know, we saw that man so lonely. But when he was president of his country, oh, man, forget it. And this is the history. And those in power, they enjoy, they thrive in this adulation. That's why when these individuals who were looking for this commercial concession and to be in good standing with King Herod Agrippa, they shouted, oh, you just talk like God and not of men.
The historian Josephus, who was appointed by the Romans to give an account of all the events that were happening at that time, he was, of course, a contemporary of Herod and of Jesus and of the apostles, so he knew what was going on. But interestingly enough, he was not a Christian, so they wanted an account that was not biased. The Romans wanted an account that was not biased of all the events, and they appointed Josephus to accurately write details of how the events were developing. And Josephus's account of what happened to Agrippa is as follows. This is his version. A severe pain arose in his belly, striking with a most violent intensity. He therefore looked upon his friends and said, I, whom you call a god, am commanded presently to depart this life. While providence thus reproves the lying words you just now said to me, and I, who was by you called immortal, am immediately to be hurried away by death. But I am bound to accept what providence allots, as it pleases God, for we have by no means lived ill, but in a splendid and happy manner. When he had said this, his pain became violent, and when he had been quite worn out by the pain in his belly for 5 days, he departed this life, being in the 54th year of his age and in the 7th year of his reign.
A painful death. But let us not forget that this man knew about God, and most likely in that moment of inspiration, he was very eloquent. And, Luke makes this statement that he did not give God the glory. In other words, God could demand that from you, from me, from our actions, because it is God who has allowed us to reach a point of position in life, whatever that may be, so we can be a witness. And he chose not to, and he accepted all that adulation, and it was wrong because he knew who God was. There was a good chance for Herod to tell the people, you know what? You have to know the God of Israel. You have to know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But no, he wanted to monopolize about those praises for himself. And again, let us not forget what I shared earlier. He was persecuting the Christians. He ordered the death of James, the brother of John. He didn't care for the Christian move. He just saw this antagonism between those Christians who were loyal to a king that in his mind was killed by the Romans, but yet this move of Christians, this move of believers, their faithfulness was so strong towards this Jesus that they proclaimed he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that it damaged his ego. He could not see this competition, nor did the religious leaders of Israel could stand the competition of this Messiah whom they did not accept it as such. They disregard Jesus, but that doesn't mean that that stopped God from continuing to carry on his plan, his will, like he hasn't stopped even today. So when people make man their source of survival and depend on them for their economy and preservation, they especially expect those in power to provide what people want. Isn't that what politics is all about as of lately? People elect those individuals who promise the most in relation to their appetite, their security. Forget liberty. Forget morality. Forget all these aspects of life and man's behavior that determines which direction a society is going to go. As long as they can have this person in power, and as long as this person fulfills their wants, they will sustain that person in power. You recall that Jesus fed the multitude, and the multitude wanted to make him a king. Why? Because he fed them and he healed them. And they wanted somebody like that for a king. They could constantly be providing for their needs, their health system, the food, the entitlement mentality. Someone that will promise that they will give them something in exchange for their vote to keep them in power. Similar, we're seeing in this scenario with Herod Agrippa. He wanted all this power so he could come against what God has established here in this world. When the rulers failed to deliver, to the people, then the people turn against them. As of recently, you can see what is taking place in many parts of the world. If rulers don't come up with what they promise they are going to deliver to the people just said, you know, we are going to cast you away. That's why tyrants need total control of the armed forces. They need to disarm people so they can rule over them any way they want and not fear an uprising that is going to kick them out of office through arms. People can make all kinds of rallies. They can march. They can say whatever they want. And we can see that the tyrants, they don't fear that type of manifestation. But they do fear when people are armed. That's why we see that people have also the power to get rid of their gods. The ones they put into power, they say, you know what? You are not serving me well. I can get rid of you. Because after all, people also think that there are little gods. And when it comes to the collective gods, they can dethrone whoever is in power. That's history. But there's another aspect that happened. Because after that painful physical death that Herod Agrippa went through, God's word continued to increase and multiply. That's what we read in verse 24. But the word of God increased and multiplied. God's word cannot be stopped by anyone. No one can stop that. Now, you know, by reading a little bit of history, what happened to the nation of Israel. A few decades after Herod Agrippa's death, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman Empire, meaning the armed forces destroyed. They killed about a million and some people in Jerusalem and around Jerusalem to once and for all just get rid of all this rebellious Jews according to the Roman Empire. That was in the year 70 of our Christian era. But the word of God increased and multiplied. So what are the lessons for our present time? We have to understand who is the true provider. Our God and Father of us all are men. And the reason we're bringing this to our attention is because here we go. Every political cycle is becoming sooner than later. It's no different than Christmas. Sales begin to appear during the summer or any other special holiday months in advance. And the political system also is getting to be very worrisome. We get tired of that, but this is where we are today. And we are going to hear so much about the next cycle of elections to all levels of elected officials. Is it elected officials or elected servants? You know what the Bible says. You know what even our system says. They are supposed to be public servants, but we'll get to that in another occasion with another topic. So God is not going to stop. If a society continues to look towards men into the political power to sustain us, we know what's going to happen. And we know, and at least we should know, where we are today as a nation and as a world. But one thing is for certain, God will continue to move forward with his plan. We do well to be on his side. The writer of the Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, in chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, said the following. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. As we move forward in this tremendous political cycle, let us not lose sight that Christ rose from the dead, and no politician can attribute to himself or to herself such a mighty power. And the reason Christ was brought from the dead is because he conquered death, and everything that he said he was, he is, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. He will lead us. He will sustain us, because that is the covenant that he made with God and with humanity through his blood. But not only that, you and I, we are highly qualified to represent God's government, God's principles, to be implemented in this life. That's why verse 21 of Hebrews 13 that I just read says, equip you with everything good that you may do his will. Equip you with everything good that you may do his will. Whatever your call may be, whatever you are doing that is pleasing God, that you know you're doing the right thing, God will increase your ability to influence others to understand there is only one that must be acknowledged as the Savior of the world, and that is Christ, not man. He will equip you through your profession, whatever your profession may be, as long as your profession is an ethical profession that God approves. He will increment in you the greater ability, and he will open doors for you to be a greater light and to be that greater force for preservation as a salt on this world. God is working through you. God is working through us, that which is pleasing him. And this is why we must acknowledge and beware when people make gods of their rulers. Let us pray for that biblical reformation that we truly, desperately need, not only for this nation, but for the world. Thank you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us in this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions and comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27438. Call us at 1-877-732-2887. Again, 1-877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.